sinners and saints. Dust off those horns and halos. It's time for Alan After Dark.
Sinners and saints, I really wish we could go just 1 week without Tennessee being an embarrassment. I'm sure that a lot of you heard the situation about the Tennessee legislature in attempting to pass a bill that bans marriage between first cousins. Yeah, that's a thing in the South. While the legislation did pass relatively easily, there was one Republican, well, actually there were two Republicans who voted against the bill, but there was one in particular, Gino Bolso, which took up a bunch of the debate time arguing for an amendment that actually would allow first cousins to get married if the couple first sought counseling from a genetic counselor. Let's think about that for a minute. He explained during his debate time that his grandparents were first cousins who came to the U.S. from Italy, I think it was. So he was trying to defend his grandparents that I believe are dead now because they were cousins, first cousins. But that might explain some of his deficiencies himself. But his argument, of course, we can't go a week without targeting the gay community here. His argument was is that if gay male first cousins were to get married, there's no risk of birth defect. So there should be no worries about a heterosexual couple, but that's not how that works. Anyway, I got to thinking about that whole embarrassment, and I know that I need to discuss more what it was like growing up in the South, not necessarily just as a gay boy, but just the experience of being a Southerner and not understanding the social differences here compared to the rest of the world, how it all works. I think you have heard a lot of times people will say that the people of Tennessee and in the South are always so nice and friendly and helpful, and that is true. But the question comes up, well, why do you elect such ridiculous, lunatic people that try to push through things like an amendment for first cousins to get married? And I think when you compare our elected officials to the average everyday person, you actually do see the truth behind the niceties. That's what we're showing, is that we're taught to be polite to everyone. However, it is just a ruse in a lot of cases. People aren't really as nice as you think. And the legislature in Tennessee reflects that hostility, that unusual dichotomy would be the word to describe the differences, is that we want you to believe that we're nice, when in reality, based on our laws, our cultural norms, we are far from it. But that's kind of what I want to talk to you all about tonight. I want to talk about not necessarily the bad sides of country living in the Bible Belt, but some of the interesting and wonderful aspects of it. For one thing, just the absolute natural beauty of the Tennessee Valley is remarkable. The Great Smoky Mountains. You can drive from the Kentucky state line south in East Tennessee all the way down the valley to Chattanooga, and you're going to see some of the most beautiful hills and mountains and rivers. Just an amazing landscape. Farmland that stretches for miles and miles. Cattle grazing in the fields. Horses. Beautiful homes. The history of the area is remarkable. And yes, there are dark times in our past. But overall, there is an embrace of the past as well as looking toward the future. We've got a long way to go, but we are taking some important steps forward. When I was growing up, I've told you before that I was a farm boy. My family is a farming family. We were raised, if you were a kid By the time you were able to function and walk and speak, you were out in the fields helping, if nothing else, helping pick berries or dig taters. I had to help slop the hogs and feed the chickens. And it's a hard life, but it can be quite a beautiful and rewarding life. And there is nothing like sitting on the front porch as the sun goes down in the summertime, listening to the crickets and the whippoorwills just singing their joyous tunes, feeling the coolness of the night air, and just the peace and quiet that happens in a sleepy little country town. I remember many nights sitting on the front porch in the stillness of the night air, and it would just feel like the whole world was asleep, that there were no problems to have to solve, no worries. You could just drift off to sleep and not worry about anyone hurting you. It was peace. And one of my fondest memories of my grandmother was seeing her on her front porch in her rocking chair, dozing off sometimes as the sun would set. When the night truly gets still, you could actually hear the rumbles of the railroads, the horns from the trains in the distance, and the night sky just filled with stars sparkling across the horizon all above you. It was just this amazing canvas of twinkling lights. And there were nights, especially when the moon was full, that the glow was so bright that you didn't need any outside light, that you could see as if it was the sun. I remember many times playing with friends and my cousins out in the fields on a moonlit night where you could see everything as plainly as if it was in the middle of the day. Playing hide and seek, and how much fun it was running through the fields and hiding behind the trees and trying to use the shadows of the moonlight to camouflage where you were hiding. And we lived really close to the lake, and every day during the summertime, we could just run right over, put on a pair of shorts, go over to the lake shore and just jump right in and splash around and enjoy the cool water. We've spent many days and nights swimming and having a cookout, roasting hot dogs on a campfire, roasting marshmallows at night. Just a peaceful, fun, simple way of living and enjoying life. If only everything else could be as simple as those times were. I guess the way I'm sounding, I really do sound like I miss it. And sometimes I do. I get very sentimental about some of the fun experiences we had at the lake and playing with my cousins and friends in the neighborhood. I remember my grandfather's old barn. It's long since gone now. When I was really young, they used to continue to store hay in the barn for the cows and some of the horses. And we used to jump from the loft of the barn into a big old stack of hay, a pile of hay. And it was fun until you realized that hay was very itchy and you would need to run and take a bath to get all the itchiness off of you. And I can tell you a story about an adventure in picking blackberries. Oh, before we get to that, I realized when I was talking about digging taters, when I say taters, I mean potatoes. You know, it's a root vegetable, so they have to be dug up from the ground. And when I say dig taters, we were digging the potatoes out of the ground. Taters is just slang for potatoes. And just in case you didn't know that, almost everyone in the area that I grew up in, there were farms that were connected, basically. Every family in the area they ran a farm. And so the property lines, one farm just kind of went into the other. And most people, one of our neighbors, he always would allow us to go into his cow fields and pick the wild blackberries that grew in one large section of both of our farms. Usually he would tell us, he would call my grandmother and say, hey, I'm moving the cattle out of that field. So if y'all want to pick blackberries today or tomorrow, it'll be clear and you can do that. And that's how we would do it. And so every one of the kids that was there at grandma's house, here we go with our big buckets and baskets and things. And we would go over, climb over the barbed wire fence, go into his fields and pick blackberries. We picked whatever my grandmother provided us. If we had a bowl or a bucket, we were to fill that bowl and bucket to the top and bring it back to the house. Well, this one time we were going over, and apparently the farmer and my grandmother had not communicated, and we didn't realize that the cows were still in that field. So I'm over in my little corner, just picking away, not paying attention to anything, until I hear this thunder of galloping hooves, and one of my cousins yelled out, "Bull!" And I didn't even look back. I dropped my bucket and ran to the fence line and jumped over the barbed wire fence, literally flipping over it and landing on my backside on the other side, only to turn around to see a snarling bull snorting at me, pissed that I got away. By the way, if you haven't ever picked blackberries or strawberries, it is back-breaking work. It is painful after a day of that. You want to soak in a hot tub for hours. I think that's why when it comes to some of the foods that we eat in the South, they're higher in fat and red meats and such. It wasn't a factor back in the early days of the 1900s and the 1800s because you were working your butt off in the fields so much so that you were getting so much exercise that it offset whatever bad foods you were eating, and people were healthier then. What happened was is that we continued to eat the bad foods and not work as hard and exercise as much. That's led to the higher rates of heart disease in the South. We all have cholesterol problems. It's a tradition passed down from generation to generation.
Yeehaw!
I also can fondly remember my mom's younger siblings, her younger sisters, and her youngest brother, Uncle Charles, who has long since passed away. He was killed in a car accident. I remember riding on horses with him, and one of my favorite pictures of me as a youngster is sitting on a horse with him with my cowboy hat on. And he would ride fast on the horses. And I developed a love of horses, and I had no fear of them until that time. I still appreciate horses. I don't want to ride them anymore. But we would race through the fields between the house and the barn, and run back and forth, and just amazing, simple, free times that we had. Of course, I have to look at the other aspects of being a young gay man in the country and the hormones that rage within you and trying to understand them and it not being something that is openly discussed. Sex is not talked about. The facts of life aren't really taught unless you learn it in school or from your friends. And even then, you're probably being told things that are not accurate. Hard to believe in this day and age that that's possible, but back then it was. All of us in our teen years, of course we have raging hormones and we're curious. We don't understand why our bodies feel and react the way that they do. So we do try, if we have the guts, to experiment with others. And that would include cousins, because that's who you spent the most time around. Usually, in the town that I lived in, we did have our friends that were nearby that would come over and play, like the pastor's sons. But of course, the ones you felt would keep a secret would be the ones you were closest to, and that was always your cousins. Full confession here, I never played around with anybody when I was young. I never explored or even tried, really. Obviously, when your classmates, when you're peeing in a bathroom or something, that you see their wing dang doodles. We all seen each other's penises. And I've seen my cousins, of course. It didn't mean that I reached over and grabbed it and tried to do something with it.
Oh my God.
Another confession. I did have one cousin that I did find attractive. And out of curiosity one time, I did this thing where I accidentally stumbled and fell on purpose and grabbed him by the ass. But it felt like a collision, so he didn't think anything about it or even didn't really pay attention to what I did. And I just wanted to touch his ass. I was just curious. And I wondered if I'd ask him, can I touch your ass, would he have let me? And he probably would have. I don't know. He probably would have. I don't know that that falls under the same category as what I discussed at the very beginning of this episode about the first cousin marriage ban in Tennessee. That's as close as I ever came for myself. I had other people talk about it, about how they played around with someone that they knew. And there was a guy that I actually saw on Facebook, and I saw his name, and I'm like, is that really the same one that I remember in elementary school? Let's call him David. David was the younger brother of one of my classmates. We'll call her Darla. They both had the same first letter in their name. I never thought about him being gay or anything, but it turns out that he is. And he told me, when you meet somebody from your hometown that is gay, you automatically, it seems like, go back to a discussion of those times and what you did to get through it as a young gay person in a podunk hillbilly town. And he was very forthright with me that his best friend, we'll call him James, which was in the same class as he was, had an older brother that was a year older than me, and we'll call him John. David told me that when he would spend the night with James, he would sneak out of the room and sneak into John's room, and he said that they had sex. He said John full-on had sex with him, bareback. That would have been when they were like 13 and 14 years old. He would have been like 12 years old, and John would have been 14 years old. And I was just surprised it went to that level. It wasn't just jacking each other off. They full-on had sex. I asked him, I said, did that not affect you in any way being that young? And he said, no, absolutely not. I wanted it. I was in love with him, even though he went on to marry a woman and have a child. And I just wonder how many more stories are like that in my hometown. I know that there are more than just me and him, David, that were gay back then. I know a few more. I've met them at the clubs over the years, but even the straight guys that growing up, I don't know, when you're moving through puberty, and yes, you have tons of social influence, and I've talked about how the church in the Bible Belt is overly influential in family affairs. As a gay person, you're being bombarded with all the anti-gay, pro-heterosexual propaganda in the churches. But as you're going through that phase of transitioning from a young person through puberty, I don't know that we do kind of fall along those lines. I believe that guys experiment. I think they do. And I'm basing that on what some of the guys have told me. I just guess that I was too afraid to try. I was afraid of what might happen to me, because it wasn't just experimenting for the sake of experimenting. It would have been an expression of physical attraction because I was gay. It wasn't just being curious for me, even though it was. Does that make sense? Probably not. If anything else, though, I want it to be kind of clear that, unlike what a lot of people might think, the Bible Belt isn't deliverance country, even though we have a few that will say something like, you sure do have a pretty mouth. But I'm sure that there are parts that are even more rural than where I came from that are like that. And I'm sure incest, that has happened. It does happen. And I don't think it just happens in these hillbilly areas where there's nobody else to breed with. The inbreds.
What?
That sounded really weird, didn't it? And I always wondered, you were required to go to school, but they really didn't always enforce it. And I had classmates that would come once or twice in a whole year. You would hardly ever see them in school. There was one family, and I always wondered about them. And there were whispers that there was inbreeding in that family. And I wouldn't be surprised. But those aren't the norm. The description I gave of the land and the country at night, those are all real and genuine. And there are really, really good people that live in the Bible Belt. And there are really, really bad people that live in the Bible Belt. And there are problems that we have. We have a problem with crystal meth, with fentanyl, with drug abuse, with alcohol abuse. Hell's Bells, my great uncle was a moonshiner. He had his own still. Unfortunately for him, I think I've mentioned this before, he drank more of his own product than he sold. And that's why he died at a younger age. Because he was drinking pure grain alcohol right from the still. What I'm saying is that there are those who seem to love living in the country. There are those that are like me who had to get out. Now, if my hometown was welcoming and supportive, would I have stayed? No. Why? Because there's not that much to do there. That's probably the flip side of all the beauty and the serenity that you can feel there. Literally, you have to go, you'd have to drive 35, 40 minutes to get to a decent grocery store. You have nothing for entertainment except for swimming and apparently sex. That probably explains why there are so many single mother pregnancies and such at young ages. It's because people are so bored, they want to come up with something to do. And sex is free. It doesn't cost anything except for the permission of another person. So I don't want to come off like I'm being defensive about my hometown, because I'm not. If you can enjoy the beauty, wonderful. If you are like me and need to be in a bigger area with more access to entertainment, to jobs, to people, then you move to the city. Either is fine in this crazy mixed up world known as the Bible Belt. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Alan After Dark. I hope you've had fun and have been entertained. Remember, take life by the balls and be real. We'll see you soon.